Kellogg. Norfolk Villa, Prospect Street, Granville, New South Wales, Australia. February 3rd, 1895. Dear Brother, I have received your letter in which you asked a question in reference to the publication of a new edition of Christian Temperance. It is my mind, as well as yours, that another edition is needed, and as Fanny has the papers supplied far ahead, I shall set her to work at once, selecting matter and arranging for this new edition. I have had my mind drawn out upon the very lines you have mentioned, and think that something in book form should be gotten out upon practical Christian work. If the Lord will give me health and strength to do this work, I believe it can be done. I have many severe duties to do which cut down my strength. 2 weeks ago, last Sabbath, I was obliged to bear a most decided testimony to the Sydney Church. Before attending the meeting in Sydney, I spoke to a nice-looking congregation who assembled under the tent at Ashfield. About 30 in this place have signed the covenant, and there are some talented people among this number. Mr. Richardson, a noble-looking man, who has been and still is a temperance lecturer, has taken his stand on the truth. He came into possession of great controversy in some way and became deeply interested in the book. At the time of the discussion between Mr. Picton and Brother Corliss, he became much interested and has attended the meetings in the tent since that time. Brother Corliss is an excellent teacher. He makes things very plain and interesting. He loves the work so well that he overworks. The Lord has blessed him in presenting the truth in this late debate, and he has been enabled to give himself into the Lord's hands to be worked by the Holy Spirit, instead of trying to work the Holy Spirit. There are many things that arise in such discussions to try the soul of the man who would stand in defense of the truth. During the camp meeting, Elder Corliss was obliged to do much heavy labor, and he could not find time in which to rest. Almost immediately after camp meeting, he was challenged for this debate, and the discussion could not be avoided. But the Lord helped him signally. We have every reason to praise God because he gave power to the truth and caused it to bear away the victory. The people could see the difference in the spirit of the men who took part, as well as in their arguments. Error was weak, but truth was mighty. After speaking in Ashfield in the morning, I drove to Sydney and bore my testimony in the church, as I have before mentioned. I called two of the brethren by name and clearly set before them their true condition. One, by the name of Hardy, has educated himself in the line of criticizing both ministers and people, and ever since the church was organized, he has done nothing to encourage or strengthen the people, but rather has been an agent through whom evil angels could work to sow doubt and to bring clouds and unbelief over the meetings. The other brother is in a similar condition. These men would pay no tithes, give no offerings, but made only contributions of complaints against the ministers and the people. No one seemed to have a particle of influence over them. All reasoning was thrown away upon them. When I bore my testimony at first, Brother Blank attempted to justify himself in some matter and said that the testimony was not applicable to him. I had dreaded doing this work so long that I was determined, through the help of the Lord, to leave nothing undone. I quoted the message to the Laodicean church to show him that he knew not his true condition. Thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness may not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Revelation 3, verse 17 to 19. This man had educated and trained himself to be a criticizer, both in his home and in the church. but this is the special work of Satan. I told him that he had been an agent through whom Satan could bring his accusations against the brethren. I pointed out the fact that ever since the church was organized, they have worked at the job Satan had given them to do. There was only one course for them to pursue, and that was to change leaders, to dismiss the adversary of God and man, and wear the yoke with Christ. I read about 15 pages of typewritten paper in which was presented the condition of the church. Again and again, I have labored in presenting Bible principles in a clear and decided manner. I had brought out matters in such a way that these faulty individuals could have seen and made the application to their own cases, but it seemed that these general principles did not make the least impression. This was the reason that I wrote out the matter in definite lines and made the application that they failed to make. I told them that though they had been agents for Satan, they might now yoke up with Christ and come into partnership with one who, by his grace, could work a transformation in their characters and make them kind, tender helpers, both in the home and in the church. If they would not do this, it would be better for them to withdraw from the church and no longer be disturbers of God's people. This cut deep. And when I asked, "What are you going to do about this message that I present to you from the Lord? Are you going to treat it as you have treated other messages? And instead of applying it to your own cases, criticize the message and the messenger? Or will you receive the message of heaven and acknowledge it to be truth?" The man Hardy, who had been so difficult to reach, began to melt. I then cried out, "Who will be on the Lord's side? Let him come over with us. Let us see if we cannot expel Satan from the church so that he shall no longer be entertained here as a welcome guest." Hardy said, "The testimony is true, and I will receive it." Then the other brother made some confession, and several others bore a decided testimony to the effect that they would be on the Lord's side and wear the yoke of Christ. For 3 hours, I labored almost continually. I felt that this was a case of life and death, and that these men must be rescued. They saw that their power was at an end, and the deep conviction of the Spirit of God was upon them. When I left the room to step into my carriage to ride 13 miles with Sister Campbell as driver, Brother Humphrey came out into the hall, and with a most imploring look, he said, "Sister White, do not give me up. You can help me. I do not see all things clearly yet, but pray for me." I took his hand and said, "I will present your case before my Heavenly Father, but be assured that you have an able advocate in the court of heaven. All the universe of heaven has been looking down upon us this afternoon. The message I have given you will be to you either a savor of life unto life, or of death unto death. You alone must determine which it shall be. Jesus has given his precious life for you. He has an interest in you. He wants you to surrender yourself unreservedly to the control of the Holy Spirit." He said, "I will." On our way from Sydney, we stopped at Ashfield at the home of Brother McCullough. No one was at home except the lad who lives there, and he gave us the only refreshments he could find. I had an egg beaten up in a cup of milk, and after this relish, we started on our journey home. I had been up since about 3 o'clock in the morning, and with riding and laboring through the entire day, I had become very weary and could scarcely sit up in the phaeton. For several days I felt prostrated and have felt so weak that I have not attended a service since. W.C. White came from the Melbourne conference about 2 weeks ago, bringing a number of brethren with him. As usual, our house was thrown open to council and committee meetings, and for the entertainment of the brethren. One night, we lodged 17 persons, including the family. It seemed like olden times, and I am glad that I can serve the cause of God in this way. But at my age, it seems that I ought to have more retirement and quietude, but God can sustain me, for in the past, He has done this in a remarkable manner. I am beginning to gain a little strength, but this aggressive warfare is very painful to me.
On Sunday, our house was full of brethren. Brother Hardy solicited an interview with me, and he said, "Sister White, you have helped me. You have helped me to see myself. Every word of the testimony you have laid so firmly upon me is true. But I never saw myself before as I do now."
"Oh, can you tell me what I can do to get into the light?"
I said, "I will help you all that I can. But you are already submitting to the yoke and beginning to wear the yoke of Christ. He will lead you into the perfect light." The man is all broken to pieces. I encouraged him by showing him as clearly as possible what he could do. He was to believe that as he confessed his sins, Jesus would fulfill his word, forgive his sins, and cleanse him from all unrighteousness. A great change has taken place in him. The lost sheep is found, and heaven rejoices. Yesterday, a brother came from Ashfield and greatly relieved my mind in regard to Brother Humphrey. He told me that Brother McCullough had read the testimony to Brother Humphrey and that he had accepted it all and had wept like a child. Now it is said that these men who have stood so long in the way of the church are like new converts. An entirely different atmosphere surrounds their souls, and the Holy Spirit is working upon their hearts. I praise God with heart and soul and voice. I have not slept much the past night. The rheumatism extends from my hip down my limb to the ankle that you ministered to so faithfully and has kept me awake the first part of the night. I awoke about 2 o'clock, and since then have not been able to sleep on account of thinking of things that must be prepared for the American mail. I go to Sydney today to the yearly sales to purchase some goods. They have these sales to rid the stores of their old stock. The poor around us are suffering for food and clothing, and I can buy at an advantage by visiting these stores. We economize as much as possible, and there is need enough for it. Job says, "The cause that I knew not, I searched out." Job 29, verse 16. But there are so many cases that press upon our notice and demand our charity that we have no need of hunting up cases at all. There are many poor who are distressed for want of food and clothing who are of the household of faith. Our purses will scarcely suffice to reach the needs of those we know. Jesus says, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Matthew 25, verse 40. How precious are these words of comfort to the poor. The opening of new fields in regions beyond also makes demand upon us and causes us to strain every spiritual nerve and muscle. Sydney has never yet been worked. The suburbs have had some labor, but the work in Sydney proved a failure some years ago and has not been attempted since. But Sydney must be worked, and the battle must be pressed to the very gates. The conference treasury is exhausted. At this time, the conference is paying out £50 every week to the workers, and this is all in excess of what is coming in. I am now sustaining 5 workers in the field to assist in carrying on the work in Sydney. The Australian Conference thought that they must give these workers up. I have used the royalty on my books and the donations that have come in with the greatest economy in order to keep the work from stopping altogether in times of trying emergency. The Lord has money, and He will open to us some way by which the work may be continued. The Lord is removing hindrances that have long blocked the work of the Sydney Church. As long as I have any capital, I shall see to it that the work does not languish. I will do my best for the poor and the needy, and will keep the work moving. And when my funds become exhausted, God will move on others to send us help. The question of making books is a serious problem. I have precious things to write, but I have not yet completed the life of Christ. So many things urge themselves upon my attention that I feel cannot be set aside, that I have very little time to devote to writing the life of Christ. Willie, Brother Colcord, and Brother and Sister Corliss left for Auckland last Wednesday evening. We have had almost constant rain and wind. This has made it very disagreeable on land, and what it must have been on the water from Sydney to Auckland is hard to tell. They must have had a very disagreeable passage. The voyage from Sydney to Auckland is usually very rough, but it must have been unusually tedious through such weather as we have had. We expect that they have reached Auckland this morning. If so, we shall receive a telegram. We hope to hear of their safe arrival. The brethren thought that it was not best for me to go in my weak condition.
I was very much surprised to receive a draft for $40 from Himes in the last mail. We needed money very much just at that time, in order to pay two of our workers whom the brethren thought of sending to the islands of the sea, because they had not funds with which to pay them even £1 per week. I wrote to Melbourne, saying that it would not do to send these brethren away. We needed every worker that we could find to carry on the work in Sydney and its suburbs. So this donation from Brother Himes was very acceptable. We have no time to lose. I will sell my property in Battle Creek. I shall need the money to advance the work and to furnish me with a home where our brethren can be accommodated. I am thankful every day that we have the beautiful residence which we now occupy. It is on high ground, surrounded by scenery that is attractive, and the rent is a marvel of cheapness. We only pay £1.31 per week for rent. It is God's own mercy and love that has provided for us so pleasant a home. 8 months ago, when we inquired at what price the house would rent, the answer was £2 per week. There was then no stable on the place, but now they have built a stable and only charge us the price I have mentioned. There is open land all around us, upon which we pasture our horses and cows. We give them some food beside, and they come in as regularly for their meals as though they had human reason. When Willie returns, he will marry the woman of his choice, and of my choice. There is no criticism to make about this contemplated marriage, and this is an exceptional thing. I have never been acquainted with any other case where there were no criticisms to make. Her father, who is her only living parent, is perfectly well pleased. Her stepmother, sisters, and stepsisters are all delighted, and I am glad for Willie's sake. The next thing is to get his children across the broad waters. Mary Mortensen might come with them, and then either become the matron of my home or serve in the school in some capacity. Willie will have a home separate from mine. I would be very much pleased to have Mary here, and so would Willie, but she must decide herself what she would like to do. We respect Mary very much. She has done nobly by the children. I love her for her faithfulness. But I only intended to write to you about books. You proposed to send me a paste-up of matter to indicate what you would consider appropriate for the book you mentioned. This would please me very much, and I hope you will do it as soon as possible. Meanwhile, after supplying the papers, Fanny will do something in this line. I wish I were prepared to give my whole time to writing some things which I would like to have appear in this book on temperance. We have now in the hands of the publishers at the Echo office the manuscript of a book on the Sermon on the Mount. We would be pleased to see you here. The climate of New South Wales is the most favorable climate that I have ever been in all my travels. I shall not think of going to Africa, and I may spend the remnant of my life here. I have written you at length, but may not be able to do this again.